we bow our heads once again for a word of prayer. Righteous Eternal Father, we thank you again for this day that your grace and your mercy has brought us together in your house. We appreciate your blessings in the week that ended yesterday, both physically and spiritually. Lord, we thank you that on daily basis you care for us and you do not allow the will of the enemy to prevail. We bless your holy name. We are here again in your house. We appreciate the blessings we receive already in the Sunday school. We thank you, God, for the worship service, the hymns and the crosses that have been sung to praise on them. We also thank you for the special numbers also. We bless your holy name. We want to surrender ourselves unto you as this service continues. Lord, we look up unto you like the servant looked to his master and the maid to her mistress. Lord, our eyes are upon you, that you will show your mercy unto us. And remember us today for good. Those blessings that are, Lord, in your store, O God, we pray you release bountifully unto us today, physically and spiritually, that we'll leave this place far better than we are when we come inside. May we go stronger spiritually, may we go stronger physically. May you answer questions in our hearts. Take away every trouble, Lord. Every arrow of the enemy, may they miss their target. We ask, Lord, that you will condition us that may be able to enjoy the service, O God. Those who are not here physically and they are hooked up, wherever they are, we ask that you extend your blessings unto them. At the end of this service, may we have every cause to give glory unto you. Your servants that have gone to Bakatari, be with them. And wherever the saints are gathered in like manner, whether in this nation or other nations of the world, we ask your presence to be with them. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Before I answer one question that somebody sent forward, let's quickly sing this hymn 516. It is well with my soul. Thank you.
church in Uresewa.
Read First Timothy.
Timothy kini.
Chapter 4, verse
8.
They will sit down.
All
attend to the question that somebody is for bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this portion of his word. God bless you, can be seated. This question is according to the deacon that gave me, said a young person sent it.
I didn't say
a doctor, I say a young person sent it. So now whether adult now tell the person to write it, to go and submit it, or whatever, that I don't know. And I don't want to. If it's an adult, I will have just given an assignment to the adult. Then, when the person come back with the assignment, something, then I will now ask the person back the question. This same question, the person will have answered it. But because he says a young person, let me assume it's a young person, then answer it as it is from a young person. The question is, is it bad to play basketball? God bless you. That's still part of the question. God bless you is part of the question. Right. In the exposition of the Seven Church Age Book, Patmos Vision, you have it already, or you have just bring it. I'm reading a portion, just two paragraphs there. The prophet said, have you ever noticed how the world gets into the spirit of things that are in the world? They go to their ball games, their sporting events, and their dances. They enter into the spirit of it. Now, without going further, this part that I read, is it clear? Or did he say, have you ever noticed how the brethren gets into the spirit of the things that are in the world? Alright. But he said, did you ever notice how the world gets into the spirit of things that are in the world? And he went further to say, they go to their ball games, their sporting events, and their dances, and they enter into the spirit of it. Alright, let's leave that. Move to the next quote. Question and answer. 64:8:23 in the morning. Paragraph 129. They got away from the Bible. They all went to church and made bonko games and things like that. See, you are trying to polish up like Satan's grant out Hollywood. You could never bring Hollywood into the church. I mean, bring the church into Hollywood. You've got to bring Hollywood to your grants. Not go on their grants. Let them come over here. We got something they know nothing about. And statue of a perfect man. Paragraphs
382.
Now, what if we go down to Bible doctrine of wearing shorts and bobbing hair and stuff like that? See, we are to godliness. Women professing godliness and holiness, where would that be? Card parties and everything else, tattlers, blabbers, not having been able to hold their own tongue. Own tongue talking and tattling and going around. How about the men? Card parties, golf games, how they have dressed, little dirty looking clothes on, with the women hanging out there. No wonder. Condemnation by representation. Paragraph 8. But hybriding, bringing the church to theology, instead of letting the Holy Spirit lead it, they brought in bishops, general overseers. When the Holy Spirit is God's original leader of the church, but they hybrid the church, like they did the chicken, like they did the mule, like they did everything else, hybriding it, making it different. Hybriding in the world, the things of the world, basketball games. I hope the writer is following. And supers, and bonko games, and all kinds of things of the world. It's true. It's prettier. It's a bigger building. A polished class of people. Their singing may be more orderly in the notes. No, not at all. And so forth, that the old-fashioned Pentecostal with the tambourine and the jitter, but it hasn't got the seat. It hasn't got the ring to it. The explaining away, all of it, say this is better than that was. Escape either. Come quickly. Paragraph 37. Oh brother, what a day that we are living in. The Bible said in this day that in 2 Timothy the Spirit speaks expressly. In the latter days, they will depart from the faith and will be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I come to the church the other night. It was altogether too snowy and bad to come here. But they had a basketball game and they had to turn hundreds away. What is it? Their God is basketball. And what is your God then? Let's, to save time, let's stop there. The world is again falling apart. Paragraph 136. Today they want an educational system. Why? So they can do anything they want to and see all their Christian profession. Oh, if they got a big grace something where you can go in, go down the lines and things and chew chewing gum and kick one another in the side and go out and have the recreation halls and things where you all go out and play basketball and things like that. I haven't got nothing against basketball, baseball, football, whatever it is. If that is all your God is, it's a big bag of air. Well, let me tell you, what we need today is the word of God, anointed for this age, that will bring forth the power of the Holy Ghost again. Yes, that's all right. But that don't belong in the church. No, sir. I have to build something like that to keep the church together. You had better burn it down. Or kick it out. Or get something in there that will bring the word back again. And that is the things of the word. Mixing it with the word of God, you cannot do it. No, sir. The power of transformation. Paragraph 192. Somebody, a girl, asked the prophet a question. And wants the prophet to answer. And the girl said, whatever the prophet said, that she will abide by it. And the girl is about 12 years of age. A little lady from one of the brothers here. Some of your people, their church wrote me a letter the other day, said, Daddy don't want me to go to baseball or a basketball game. We believe, she said, she was 12 years old. Said, Brother Abraham, we believe you have the word of the Lord in what you tell us now. Said, I kind of think Daddy is wrong. But said, what you say, I'm going to believe. Now, that sweet little girl. So I thought, well, I said, honey, look, if you are a Christian, anywhere. No matter where you are at, you are still a Christian. But I said, you see, on the basketball floor, what Daddy is thinking about, you hear them keep swearing and carrying on like that. As if believe you will be a Christian. But you see, Daddy is more advanced in life than you are. See, now I said, you are 12 years old, and you said you had a little sister, four. Now she wants you to cut paper dolls. Oh, go on. I ain't got no time to cut paper dolls. That is, you will be telling her that. See, you are further advanced than little sister. Now, that is where the church ought to be today. Further advanced in the word of God. Now, not the prophet is trying to tell this girl that your daddy knows more than you. And your daddy is telling you that at that age, you ought to leave that. Now, in the message life, which the prophet preached, I believe, in Bram Tabernacle, 1957,
June 2nd,
the prophet came to the platform to make an announcement.
See,
one announcement I want to make this morning, then we won't talk long, and then maybe finish it up tonight. There was this announcement. If anyone lives in the neighborhood, that they will be sure to speak to the neighbors to this regard. The neighbors have been calling me here, especially one in the neighborhood, called me day before yesterday, and it was concerning boys playing ball on the lot air. Like we used to have them play front here. They had a broken window, a knock-in screen door,
glass,
broken down garden. The little fellows, the neighbors all know they want to play.
Sure,
they are just kids. But they knocked their ball across the way and break down their gardens and things. And I think that there is several little boys here in the neighborhood is included in. And they have been awful nice to us, that's the neighbors. They have never complained. The neighbors, the nights, and we get a little noisy around here, you know, late in the night. But there is never nothing about it. And you know how they could. They refuse at us with it, if they wanted. And we believe in being just as peaceful with our neighbors. Say, live peaceful with all men as far as possible. That scripture, the prophet is
fine.
And so we want to do that. And now, if there was no other place in the city, or nowhere for the kiddies to play ball, we will see if we couldn't build us a big high fence around so that the ball wouldn't go over and bother and molest our neighbors. But right here in Ingramville, right there, they have a public ball dam for all kiddies and playgrounds for them to play. For who are these play ball for? We said to people at what I read here is for what? For kiddies. Just up above it, that's the around the tabernacle. At the graveyard there, they have the old city playgrounds for all to play ball and whatever more you wish to play. I didn't make a decision. I called it in to the church board this morning and asked them what we must do so that we could be peaceful with our neighbors and have our friends and everything, and our people will understand. And they have decided that maybe it would be a good thing for us not to have the boys to play ball anymore on the grass. Not as we care for them doing it. The church don't care.
Man,
a little window light once in a while. You can read from here too. Not as we care for them doing it. The church don't care. Man, a little window or light once in a while. That would be maybe either street light or whatsoever. That they use the ball to scatter it. But we got to think about our neighbors too. You know, we got to think about them. I want to live like Christian gentlemen and ladies. I told them, the only way we could do, we just put a little sign up that the boys not to play ball there. Now, if any of your neighbors are here that your kiddies are playing here on the lot, I'm sure you understand, see, that we don't want our phones and things and the police up here or something another about breaking our window, lights and things. And you little boys, if your little boys are out there and little girls playing ball and they see the sign out there not to play ball, well, now we don't mean to be rude with our children, with the children, but we want to be respectable to our neighbors. Everybody will understand that, I'm sure. And I wouldn't make that decision alone. I asked the board to come in this morning and I asked them. And that was their decision. Also thinking that we should live peacefully with our friends. And now they got a ball place right over here. Just about 2 blocks from right from where we are now. That is a great big diamond. And so you can play all the ball you wish to. Now, people walking back and forth through here, that don't mean that for them not to walk through or anything. Be perfectly all right. I have only 2 quotes to read now. Absolute. Paragraph 199. There is an absolute at a ball game. That's the umpire. Oh yeah. Sometimes we don't like his decision either, but it is that anyhow. The umpire, his decision is the final word. That's right. No matter what others say. If he says it's a strike, it's a strike. That's right. Certainly, no matter what others say, that don't have nothing to do with it. And let's just think of it. I don't go to ball games, but just happen to jot that down. The next or the last quote I want to read, putting on the whole armor of God, paragraph 91. Is it 91 or 9? It's paragraph 9, I think. Not a mistake. It's paragraph 9. Yes. I may look a little butchered up tonight. In my face and my eyes, I may look not good looking. I guess you already heard that I was shooting a rifle about 4 weeks ago. My creation, my recreation was always fishing, hunting, or something like that, the outdoors. I never did play golf or ball, horse racing, and anything. I just love the outdoors. So with all these quotes, you say, what is your summary? I read that scripture because some people used to say that the Bible said that bodily exercise profited little. And they wanted that little out of it, that little, that profit that they wanted. But that was, and that's adults talking, Christians. Now from the things the prophet, you know, the message gets plainer every day. From the things I've read, with there are so many quotes I did not pick because of, I just picked these few ones to read. The prophet actually put all types of games under worldliness. The prophet himself, he said, he doesn't, like, I couldn't lay hand on a code because nowadays, when I have to study, because my eye is still recuperating gradually, I see, went to visit the ophthalmologist yesterday. I went
Tuesday,
and I also went yesterday, and I've applied something this morning. So, if I study much, it affects my system because I'll use majorly this eye for now, and it's the work of two eyes that God put there. So, but we have to continue until this one come and join it. Yeah. But the prophet agreed that little underage children can do all this exercise or whatever you call it, or sports. But when whosoever is getting to like the age of 12. And if you look at what Brother Ram also said in believing God, that when you reach the age of 12, you get to the age of accountability, when you have to answer for things. I don't know whether I read it myself or somebody said one time. Abraham, of course, we know that he has about half acre at his back, at the back of his house, which he said is like the place, there are some playground for his children there. Because he didn't want them to get out with the other people.
Because
in most cases in sports, you know, like from the course we have read, people are not well dressed in sports. They don't appear like Christians. In most cases, they come out in Nika, male and female, which is horrible. The worst matters, the footballers of today, many of them put earring. Their ear is like a mad somebody, madman. You know, when even a man's ear, when he's getting to some extent, the person's something is already wrong with the person's thoughts. When your hair is getting too bushy, you are running mad, small, small. When you get to go to Baba and cut it, I cut my own. When I was using clipper, I used clipper by myself. The person that I called to come and trim me is somewhere there in the audience. So that when I do it, then you correct it. After some few times like that, I mastered it, I was cutting it myself. So, for many years now, I don't go to barbers. When I graduated from that one to another thing that will make it lower, I've even become emeritus because I train others. Sometimes you laugh, but I don't know. It's not a laugh, it is it's a simple something. Some of the people that graduated under me, they are here. So, You don't need to carry load of sin on your head and appear like a madman. You yourself look at others and look at yourself. You know that you don't resemble gentlemen. So when your hair is getting like that, go and cut it. Go and cut it. All right, so the prophet called all this whatever worldliness. Secondly, there is spirit of games. While I was young, my favorite was Ludo. I can play for 10 hours without getting hungry. And a young person that gets into that spirit, anyone, whether football, Ludo, table tennis, snookers, and the rest of it, you can't pass your exam when that spirit enters into you. I know some of our people here used to watch football before. I don't know for now. Sometimes they sneak out from the service, they go and watch their football. If you look at where they watch those footballs, you know that it is gangsters that are there. Hoodlums. Men and women of the underworld. No, the prophet also in this quote talk about the atmosphere where some of these things are done. And so on. So you cannot say that small boys, as long as they can, and if the small boys are doing it, that is affecting other things, then you apply the principle of the prophet here to stop it. In the time of the prophet, they were doing it, they were loud, but they were breaking this, breaking that. Then they have to come together because it was just by the church premises and stop it. If it is also in your house and the boy has grown to the age of, let me see your ages. What's, how old are you? 9. What about you?
9. 10.
Eh? You are a big man.
What is your balagba?
Like this ones here that are 9 and 10. If they get to this age, and instead of reading their books, it is bored. Instead of doing housework, it is bored. You have to put up the sign. Stop it. It's already affecting other things that are scriptures that will ruin their life if you don't stop it. And this spirit of sports, when he enter you to some extent, if God does not deliver you, that is why, as hard as we preach here, some of the boys here used to sneak to go and watch. It's because the spirit have entered inside, and they cannot hear that Nigeria and Morocco or whatever is playing, asleep in their house. If it is 12 midnight, they will go there. In some of these places, people die inside. Sometimes they will bet, and the team will favor one, will not favor the other one. And it goes, I know there are gurus in here, whether hidden or that, whatever. Among here, I don't want to embarrass anybody who have gone to that betting stage before. Betting stage before, until their life was at risk. Telling you what I know. I don't want to spend all the time on this question, but I want to let you know that generally, sporting. His worldliness. Sporting is not the only exercise there is. If you want to do exercise, you can run, you can walk, and do so many other things. You can go to gym. As long as your instructor is your same sex. Some of these gyms, it is man that will be training the women. And will be pressing their leg like this in order to clinic and open it like this one, all in the name of training. God be merciful to you. Let me say something.
Yes, Kaka.
Even if your business I don't think somebody will go and deliberately after you believe. Go after sport business. But maybe you want to do advertisement or whatsoever. Especially if you are the one that have influence there. You don't need to go for whatsoever that will make God to be anointed. I saw one recently where they brought in traditional dancers girls that their clothes just pass the pants a little, opening the ties as they are dancing there. And believers, they are supposed to be believers. I saw them there. My faith is too weak for that. My faith is too weak for that one. I see it as compromise. No wonder. I also see the people. Photograph, business photograph. This is man, this is woman. Is that business? Is that this business?
You are starting small.
It's a Yoruba adage. Ombara is a beggar. Ole is a thief. So the adage I gave is that a beggar is gradually coming to thief. You see, ministers, presidents, governors, and things, they used to have group photographs. That we see almost every day. Man doesn't hold another woman's wife like this in the name of feature. That is to show what? Is that how to promote business? If guy is not taking, and you that is advertising like that, don't say, come and see game. Come on, we can. I think you are blind. Yes. You are blind. That this person does it doesn't mean I will do it. We are individuals. If anybody here say you don't know what we stand for, if I say you are an escort. Agbere is no escort. Agbere is stout. Escort is like a spectator.
Wa wo rani.
The Lord bless you. Don't be angry with me. Don't be angry with me. If to say there is another word, and if there is a choice, I will beg God. I beg, don't make me to be hardliner. Because I get plenty of enemy because of it. Make me to be soft and simple. Because sometimes I want to be soft and simple before I know what is happening, the thing is out of hand. I don't know. Sometimes I will get back home and then I say, what is all this one? God, why don't you just help me? We want to be loved. We want to be loved. We want people to also be happy. But the time that we have in this world is very small. And we got to go back and give answer to God. So it is very hard for God to put something in your mouth and you hold it when you know it is there. May the Lord be my help. And may the Lord be your help. And be the help of all of us. God bless you, Richie. I took my time because of the what I saw recently is not expected.
Yes,
because I'm sure by now the message will have gotten to the destination because I call somebody who is close to the main target and I spoke to the fellow and ask him to be discreet in going about it. And I believe he will. So God bless you. I mean, it's coming glad in our hearts. There is not another word. The only word we are expecting is the one that Jesus has gone to prepare. Last week, like the subject we have been on is the revelation of the man of sin. It's like I'm almost, this is the note I use about, I don't know how many years ago I went through it, whether about 5 years or four, whatever. This is the note that I used there, and we have not reached, we still have quite some things to cover. And we will trust God. So last week, we ended the portion of where Satan's seat is. We started the sermon by talking about the origin of Satan from the scripture. How he entered into human race by inhabiting the animal that is called serpent. And through that gave birth to Cain. And we also saw that that lineage of Cain continued and multiplied. And until it got to the time that God destroyed the earth. Because it was this serpent seed that started all the evils until the heart was completely polluted. And God himself said, He regretted making man on earth, putting man on earth. And while he wanted to destroy the earth, the Bible said that Noah found favor in the sight of God. Because Noah was righteous, God established the covenant with him, and he preached 120 years, and then the flood came and destroyed the earth. The only human being that were there in the ark were 8 in number: Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, then their 3 wives. Then the prophet told us, which we can confirm it from the scripture, that Ham carried the serpent seed across to this new world. Because it was Ham that made jest of his father. But his brothers, Shem and Japheth, they did not look at their father's nakedness, but they took clothes and went with the back and covered their father's nakedness. And Noah, coming out of that sleep, which with drunkenness, coming out of it, becoming normal, how he knew what was happening at that time, God knows. Then he calls the seed of Ham and bless Shem and Japheth. And Abraham come from the lineage of Shem. And the Bible told us of the genealogy to the time of David
to
the time of Christ. So this new world was populated again very fast, that by Genesis 11, somebody has shot out as the head, Nimrod by name, that was giving advice, suggestions. He become the ringleader of evil and told the people, let's build a tower that will reach to heaven, so that if God wants to destroy this house again with water, we'll climb up through that tower. But that is not God's order. So God came down, looked at the tower, and saw that the people have 2 things they were using that made it possible. One, unity of language, unity of purpose. And God confounded their language. And from there, the earth was with plenty languages that we have today. Babel. And this Nimrod founded the city and also a religion and also want people to be worshipping him. And he accomplished the 3 things. And we trace the history how Satan has been progressing from that Babylon
to
Nimrod, and how they begin to spread through civilization and religion, education. And then the religion was following the education. So the religion spread to Egypt, spread to Greek, to Rome, to China, to India, North and South America. Then we also look at how monotheism, which is his worship of one God, became
polytheism, the worship of many gods. And this was what gave birth to Trinity through idol worship. And we saw last Sunday how military empires were established, and then the introduction of ancestral worship, and the introduction of the worship of nature, especially sun and moon. And that is where the worship of this idol that is called
Baal
came from. So, from now, we want to go further. Let me read about the last two paragraphs of this something of where Satan sits. But how did Pergamos become the seat of Satan if Babylon was the seat? The answer is in history. When Babylon fell to the Medes and Persians, the priest king Attalus fled the city and went to Pergamos with his priests and sacred mysteries. There he set up his kingdom outside the Roman Empire and thrived under the care of the devil. This has been a very short resume of the history of the Babylonian religion and his advent to Pergamos. Many questions are no doubt left unanswered, and much more, no doubt, could have been said to enlighten us. But this is not intended to be a study of history. Rather, it is intended to be a help to the study of the word. Now, Revelation 2:14 and 15. We are going through this also, because this is what is going to finally bring us to the current seat of Satan. In this, okay, let me read the scripture. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So as thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. In this Pergamon age, the Lord denounces two doctrines which he hates: the doctrine of Balaam, which brought idolatry and sinful excesses to Israel at Baal-peor, and two, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which had been but deeds in the Ephesian age. Combine this denouncement with the fact that he has been emphasizing Pergamos as the seat of Satan, and it is very easy and proper to conclude that somehow the religion of Babylon has become intermingled with Christianity. Now, this is not merely an assumption, but an historical fact, which we will prove by going back into history to about 36 AD. And coming up to the Nicaea Council of 325. You got to follow this closely now, because the prophet is bringing another history now. that we go back to 36 AD and we bring it up to 325 AD. When the Christians, mainly Jews by birth, were scattered abroad from Jerusalem, they went everywhere preaching the gospel, particularly in the synagogues. You know, their scattering was already prophesied. No, the thing has its genesis from Matthew 24, when the disciples took Jesus to inspect the temple, and he told them that a time is coming that the temple will be pulled down. They asked him, what time will it be? And he told them, when they see Jerusalem come passing by with an army, they should run. And like the prophet told us, those who listen to that, they escape. Those who did not, they were caught inside and they perished. This one we also say now, those who listen to it, they will be saved. Those who does not listen to it, they will be caught in the great tribulation and they will also perish. Thus, within 3 years, or about in 36 AD, the gospel had been taken to Rome by Junius and Andronicus, who, according to Romans 16:7, were apostles. The work flourished there for several years, until the constant altercations of the Jews amongst themselves caused Emperor Claudius to expel them from Rome. With the Jews banished from that city, the backbone of that little church was practically broken. The gospel was taken there by Junius and Andronicus. And the work flourished for some years, several years. But a time came that there were altercations among the people, among the Jews, and that made the emperor Claudius to expel the people from Rome. And this banishment broke their backbone from that city. Perhaps even the elders had been Jewish, and so would be gone. The flock would be unattended. And since the word had not been written as a guide, it would be very easy for this little flock to drift or be inundated by the philosophers and pagans of that city, with grievous woes on the prowl, and the spirit of Antichrist released. We find from history that this little church in Rome became hopelessly backslidden and began to introduce pagan ceremonies under Christian titles. As the period of banishment lasted for 30 years, the founders, Junius and Andronicus, did not come back until
54 AD.
Imagine their horror to find a church with a Christian title that was woefully pagan. Imagine the horror to find a church with a Christian title that was woefully pagan. Let me just continue. There were altars in the church upon which they placed incense and celebrated pagan rites. The established leaders of that church could not be approached. So with the few who had tried to remain faithful, they started a new church. Or the second church of Rome. God graciously walked among them by signs and wonders, so that a third church was started. You know, if you remember when we were in when we were still having conversion at government, a minister came and preached on a subject, three churches in Rome. How many remember? May God not make us forgetful years. It was Brother Femi Adeyemi that came and preached that, three churches in Rome. And he went through these things. I may forget so many things, but when it comes to spiritual things, they don't leave me like that. As I stand there, the sermon that was preached on my wedding, I know it. If they ask me in here, what was the sermon on your wedding? Because your mind was on how the rice will go round. Right. And though the first church was reproached for being pagan and not Christian in its worship, it will not give up its title, but remained and still remains the first church of Rome, the Roman Catholic Church. That is where Roman Catholic Church started. They were the first church in Rome, and it was founded by two apostles, Junius and Andronicus. But gradually, he slided into worldliness and became a pagan church. Those that still have the fire of God in them, they started the second church. And then later a third church was started. But the first church, this Roman Catholic Church, they remained the first church. As we hear them today, they used to boast of it. We are the first church. Yes, we are the first pagan church. And up till now, they are still a pagan church full of idolatry. 99% of what they practice there is not in the scripture at all. They have gotten some young men are pretty them. They will carry one big cross in their hand. No, in the front of the bishop. That is what he will carry throughout. That is his joy. Drunk cado. Nothing like that in the scriptures.
Go to Anglican church. Go to some of business. When they are clinical, they will come to the something bar like this. All those things is not a sign of humility. It's not a sign of holiness. It's not a sign of obedience to God's word. It's just worldly entertainment. Now the majority of us have the mistaken idea that any and all who call themselves Christians will be the target of the devil and consequently the brunt of governmental tyranny. Who call themselves Christians? 99% of people that call themselves Christians are not Christians. But not so. This first church had begun to thrive and multiply so in numbers that the emperors and various officials of the government actually favored that church for political reasons. Any church that can water down the belief of God's word, that can mix it with a little wordiness, that is the kind of church that the government wants. Where a governor can visit and come to their pulpit and come and be campaigning there. When president come there, he will go to their pulpit. If he's a Muslim, they can allow him to wear his cap there. You can be anything. When you get to mosque, you must remove your shoe. When Osinbajo was vice president and he went to mosque, they no burn him. He removed his shoe. When his oga go to his own church, his cap remained there. If anybody come here is a Muslim in any of our program, either the person will stay outside, if he must come inside, he must remove his cap. It is the duty of the officers to see to it. Yes. Whosoever the person is, whether he's from Asoro or from the White House in US, as long as he's entering our church, he must remove his cap or stay outside. Thus, when the leaders of the first church in Rome found themselves in favor, they took the opportunity to turn the government against the true believers and demand their persecution unless they came into their fold. You see the beginning of persecution. The beginning of persecution is from the people that Brother Paul called false brethren. Yes. These are people that call themselves Christians, believing the same Jesus Christ, but because of their romance with the world and they are mixing with the government, and the government have accepted them, these same people now want to use the government to torture the people, or they come and join them. There is something I know. The people in Christianity, in Christendom, like the teacher was saying in the Sunday school, which is comprising both true Christian and whatsoever, anyone that carry Bible, they don't want anybody to want to place himself as being spiritual than them. They call that thing holier than thou attitude. And I don't know what today religious fanatics. Yes. That was the kind of torture and persecution that Brother Paul has. When they saw him preaching something that was different from their own level, then they grabbed him. They might bring strange things to our ears. Until they brought him before kings and potentates, before governors. Come and defend yourself. Paul said before Agrippa, he said, the way that is called heresy, that is the way I worship the God of my fathers. Say, but these things that these people are accusing me of, they cannot prove it. But that spirit, they don't like to hear that somebody is advancing more than them in Christianity. It's an evil spirit. Why do I need to equate myself with pastor? There's no need for it. When I see the way God help him, I will bless God for him. Yes, and I pray for him for more. We are different. We are different. All of us can never operate at the same level. The people in the time of the prophet, you know, when the ministry started, initially, the attempt was to kill it. The visions there of the devil, this and that. When they found out that one does not work, and the ministry was opening up, they all came around. This one, I will take care of this. I will help you to arrange this one. I will help you to arrange this one. This one, and this one will become manager. Some people came because they know that from the way this thing is, money will be inside. So people begin to position themselves. Brother Abraham said, when you begin to see the direction some of the managers were going, he said about 3 to 5 manager, he has to sack them. Oh, they are looking
for money.
That's right. When some find out that, then they begin to say, you know what thing with that man? He actually is a prophet, because they find they cannot do anything about the vision, the discernment. Is to the point with a challenge to anybody around the world. The signs and wonders, they are beyond explanation. Nobody can say anything against it. They say when he's operating with that gift of, he's a prophet. Say, but when he's teaching the world, don't listen to him. But Abraham came back to the platform. They said that this is what somebody said. He said, he doesn't know. He said, while I was sitting in my house, that God revealed the whole thing to me. This is what the man was saying. This is a man that, whether he's in his house, anywhere, sometimes he will be driving, he will stop the car, leave the people in the car, and go to the back of the vehicle. God wants to talk to him. You just go. When God talked to him, finish, he will enter the car. Billy, what is the problem? No, no problem. While he was here, some doesn't have the nerve to face him. But when he left, come and see all kinds of things. Whatever you say, everybody will get reward for it on the day of judgment. Oh, yes, sir. You don't know what you're talking about. Close your mouth. May the Lord be our help. One such bishop
of the first church of Rome was Anicetus, who lived in the second century and was contemporary with Polycarp. When the Venerable Polycarp heard that the first Christian church of Rome was involved in pagan ceremonies and had corrupted the truth of the gospel, he went there to implore them to change. That is our Christian duty. If you see people of life precious faith derailing into error, and you have the opportunity, you go and tell them this thing is not so. He saw them prostrate themselves before images, named after apostles and saints. He saw them light candles and burn incense on the altar. He saw them celebrate the Passover under the name Easter. Where they elevated the disc-shaped bread that honored the sun god, and then they poured the wine out as a libation to the gods. This is a church that was started by two apostles with the brethren baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, trying to follow the precepts and things. But gradually, from a point, they began to little by little, like Samson, moving towards the world. Now, they have gotten to a point that they now prostrate before images. The first commandment in the Old Testament, that shall have no other God besides me. These people that are supposed to be Christians now, this is where they have gotten to. Because holiness has been missed into it. And that is, we have some so-called message churches today that does not resemble anything, even worse than denomination. And they are still claiming to be end time believers. This message is true. Do you know that some people that have stayed here before, that had the sound truth we preach, they carry their bag from here and go and stay in a church where the pastor is living in adultery, marry second wife, divorce the first, marry another one, and he's the pastor. Blindness. That's why we spear nothing here. What we look at is not how many times you raise up your hand or how many times you scream amen. We give God the glory for all that. But what is behind after? What do you do after? Is what we are interested in. But this aged saint, that's Polycarp now, who had traveled 1,500 miles, could not arrest their downward plunge. God spoke through him just as he was leaving, after he has not been able to persuade them. Despite all his pleas, he would have prayed, he would have consecrated himself, he would have looked up unto God, that God will give these people understanding, open their eyes. But after, and he traveled from 1,500 miles, which is over 2,000 kilometers.
came there
just to speak to this brethren. Despite all that, they were not persuaded. Then God spoke and said, Ephraim is joined to his idol, married to his idol. Let him alone. That's Hosea 4:15. Then Polycarp never more returned. I think it was John or so, or any of these apostles say, a man that is an heretic, after the first or second admonition, rejects. You get to the time, you just be wasting your time. Because there are people that have made up their mind. Like a minister not too long ago made up his mind after 25 years of marriage that was going to put away his wife and marry another one. People that talk to him, he will blast them, insult them, and do all kinds of things. He told another minister, say, Brother Sam did not call me. You are interpreting what I did not say. I say, he said that Brother Sam did not call him. I told the person, I will not call him. Because he didn't want anybody to talk to his wife. You will be an unrighteous judge. To only hear from the man. And then conclude. When I will not have that opportunity, I don't want to put my mouth. The people that have the opportunity to talk to both of them, he said, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe my wife or believe me? Because they were talking to them differently. That is not the world. The world is that the two have to sit down, face each other. This one talk his own, this one also talk his own. That is when you can go righteousness out. But you call this one in the west and call this one in the east. They've been lying. A man that is thinking of devil, you think the Holy Spirit is still with him? He's filled with all kinds of evil spirits, so he can lie. May God be our help. Following Anicetus was the wicked bishop of Rome called Victor. He introduced even more pagan festivals and ceremonies into the first church, and also went about trying his utmost to persuade the true Christian churches to incorporate the same ideas. Brother Abraham said, don't be involved in questionable things. He said, others may want you to be involved. He said, steer a course clear from it. They will not do as he requested. So he prevailed upon government officials to persecute the believers, hailing them into court, casting them into prison, and even meting out debts to many. Such an example of his vile deeds is found in history, where Emperor Septimus Severus was prevailed upon by
Callistus,
the
friend of Victor, to kill
7,000
at Thessalonica, because these two believers celebrated the Passover according to the Lord Jesus and not according to the worship of past
30.
The people that are now in the first church, they don't want any group to claim more spirituality than themselves. It is the same spirit that was in Cain that did not want Abel to offer a more excellent sacrifice than that of himself. It is the same spirit. And that spirit is still in the world. And let me tell you, the prophet said, when the time of persecution comes, he squeezes. Judas, that is presently in the message now, is going to lead them to your house. If you go to that Owala, there are plenty there. Once you cross that bridge from that place, they did there. Yeah, I say I will leave Owala. If you leave for Wala, they will locate you. They will still locate you. They know the language that we normally talk. So those God bless you. They are the one.
God bless you. God bless you. I want one.
Now every church, they have their own.
Yes.
You see, select people they have their.
I want to say, anybody wants to run, we'll let it all.
We'll close now.
Ah, no problem.
Because, all right. Already the first vine was turning loose its anger against the living God by killing the elect, even as did his forebear Cain kill Abel. The true church kept trying to get the first church to repent. It will not do so. It increased in size and influence. It embarked upon a constant campaign to discredit the true seed. They claim that they and they alone were the true representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, and vanted the fact that they were the original church in Rome, and they alone were the first church. Indeed, they were the first church. And indeed, they are. Thus, by the time of this third church age, we have two churches bearing the same name, but with a bitter difference between them. One has departed from the truth, married idols, and has no life in her. She has hybridized herself, and the signs of death, not life, follow in her wake. She is powerful with many members. She is favored by the world. The other is a little persecuted group, but she follows the world, and the signs follow her. The sick are healed, and the dead are raised. She is alive with the life and the word of God. She lost not her life, but also his name and his faith, even unto death. Let me quickly read this small one. And so the terrible persecution of official Rome fell upon the true believers until Constantine arose and granted freedom of religious worship. There seems to be two reasons why this freedom was granted. In the first place, various good emperors had not allowed persecution, but as they passed on, they were followed by those who killed Christians. It was so senseless that it finally came to public heat that the Christians ought to be left alone. The second and best noted reason is that Constantine had a very difficult battle ahead of him in taking over the control of the empire. One night in the dream, he saw a white cross appear before him. He felt that this was an omen unto him that if the Christians prayed for a victory for him, he will win the battle. He promised freedom for them in the event that he was victorious. Political campaign in the church. He was victorious, and the freedom of worship was granted in the edict of Nantes 312 AD. We have to stop here. This thing will bring the thing out. These spirits, they are alive today, and they are walking. Everybody should know where they stand. Stand. If you want to stand, stand. If you don't have anything you to stand, you will fall for anything. How will Christianity, how will any spirit in somebody want to persecute another Christian? Want another person tortured? Want another person dead? Just because you don't agree, you don't see things the same way. Everybody has a right. The way you see it, God bless you. Continue with that way. Every road leads to a destination. But when it is getting, you are getting embittered to somebody because he didn't see the same thing you saw, something else has taken over. There is no Holy Spirit there. When I came to the message, my first watch is to look at people that is projecting a doctrine. When the doctrines are contrary to each other, and I've not understood all the doctrines then, so I watch the doctrines that you are presenting. Then I watch the practical spirit that is coming after it. Once I see hooliganism, I see foul languages, I see worldliness, then if I don't understand the theory, I think I understand the practical. That's the way I watch. And that is what helped me in all my decisions. Because there are people that can teach. They will teach until this building will shake to the foundation. This building will shake to its foundation. The whole place will be on fire. I went to a confession 1 year. A minister came to preach. He began to preach error. Before 5 minutes, the whole place was on fire. And this is a man that at 15
15 feet. You can smell the perfume on his body. This one. I don't see what you are talking about. Because that time I even understood that he was talking error. Well, I saw some people jubilated. These people don't know where they stand. Then the minister came after that to come and preach for people that are not saying amen.
Only
when he died, so see Simon Lori. Must I say amen to error?
On their head.
That is why some people prepare and start their sermon. Arouse the people to be screaming amen. If you don't say amen to every word of God, that is every word of God. Not every utterance that comes from your mouth. It is every word of God. They are two different things. When you are talking rubbish, I can't say amen to that one. The reason I'm not too emotional most of the time, I want to see where it will end. Because sometimes, some people want to project error, and they will first of all start with a good place. If care is not taken, they will have been engulfed. May the Lord be our help. In this message of the hour, anybody that does not have something in him, a representation in him, a seed gem, something that will make you to recognize that this is the truth. If you don't have it, you haven't gotten an anchor yet. When some storms come, you will go. And the prophet preached the oncoming storm. He said, There is coming an oncoming storm that will shake everywhere. You see, there is only one storm that can weather it. And that storm, you see, it is the mighty rushing wind that fell on the day of Pentecost. Where that one is, it will weather any storm. Where it is not, that is why we preach more on the Holy Ghost here. Because if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you will only be caught by atmosphere euphemism. Just euphoria atmosphere. Because the prophet said some people think they are Christian because they stand before a great minister. Or because they are in a great crowd. Those things is not Christianity. Christianity is an experience and a life. There must be a point in your life that something will happen to you that you will have as from that time. Something happened to you. You are no more the person you used to be. Whether you are boiling with anger before, it will kill your anger. If you have jealousy spirit, it will kill it. If you are covetous, it will kill it. If you are immoral, it will kill it. Whatsoever, it will kill it. Any experience that does not kill all those spirits is a deceiving spirit.
And if you know all the doctrine, it still doesn't matter. It's a lie. We have no pastor in this message that preach, do this one, they can get caught at their finger is, and they will see finish most of the church members.
Female church members.
Yeah, in this message, you know, be another. No, we are not talking about denomination.
Ah, so Jaladamo, Kolanso.
And it's not that one day himself, God just deal with him, and then he now say enough is enough. It is until he was caught. The minister told him that what you did is very bad. He said, himself, say there is another name that he can be given. To say it's bad is still fine. And there are people that are doing it that are not caught. Either by man or by the Holy Spirit. And they are still doing it.
What you say?
A day is coming when everybody will give an answer. If the Holy Spirit catches up with a man here and causes him to stop evil and to repent genuinely, it's because God has him in his record. But if the person is not caught by man, Brother Fumbi, you are here. What? You are welcome, long time. Shalom. If you are not called by the Holy Spirit, and you are not called by man, even if you are called by man, the repentance that you repent, it is only God that will know. I prefer the one the Holy Spirit catch you as a person. Yes, that one is when your heart is pricked, then you can repent. That repentance will be genuine. But the one they catch you, what happened is that you know, we are in the flesh. You will perish in the flesh. May the Lord be our wife. God bless you. We couldn't go more today because of the question we were asking. And if we are still here, then we'll continue. If the rapture happens or whatever, then if it's an individual rapture, those who are here, they will continue.
Mm-hmm.
There is coming a day when no heart shall come, no more sickness, no, oh, no more parting over, I'm forever with me, yes, with the world. Who died for me? Oh, what a day, glorious day, that we be true for now. What a day, that we be, yes, where my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, oh, thou one who saved me by his grace, oh, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, yes, what a day, glorious day, that's it. Oh, It's a one-way traffic. There is no way to return. It is forward ever and backward never. If you are not ready to go with us, the road is open. The prophet said, there are people that complain about going to church, complain about the service is long, complain about this, complain about this. He said they are not ready for the journey. Oh yes, sir. If you are not ready, no problem. But if you are ready, join us. Because the time is short. Very soon now, everything will come to its end. What we are saying, you will see it in plain reality. Are you a lover of worldliness? And you don't see it as evil, you continue. The prophet said, it's through women that worldliness is to enter the church. Yes. That's why we don't give them chances here. When we see them starting with painting their leaves with wet leaves, we condemn it. If you don't condemn it, it will come to colors. Yes, you don't talk about it. If you come to colored air, are you an animal or a human being? Human being here is different from animals. If you are in this Nigeria, we know the kind of air we have here in Nigeria. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, he will tell you what the message says. If you are the type that you cannot sew any dress without tearing it, either in the front or by the side or in the black, unclean spirit is working upon you. You are not ready for the journey yet. If you are not satisfied with the height that God has given you, but you want 4, 5, 6 inches too, to raise up your eyes, you are not ready for this journey. The prophet said, you cannot climb the interior high steps with that. You will fall by the wayside. This is the cleanest message on earth. The purest of it. The prophet said, we believe in holiness and we preach it to the very extremes. Yes, sir. Don't believe in man hugging another woman for any reason. It is sinful. Whether I be a minister, or be an officer, or a church member, it is sinful. Whether in the name of business, or in the name of anything, it is still sinful. Can a man of God, how can a man of God be organizing, no, all these worldly dancers with their ties open in the name of business advertisement? That is foolishness. Says to God, YOS above.
That's what God wants to say.
And our hearts about us.
Your can wa wa te ba pelu.
Would there be someone that would like to be remembered in prayer?
I want rati onu adua.
Whatever request you have.
Ke adua ke pe adua to le ni.
Just put it in your heart.
Feel it spoke
as a pastor pray.
You swag to se gbadua.
And believe God.
Ko se gbo lo gbo.
That the Lord answer his servant's prayers. And God will answer you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough. We cannot appreciate you enough for your calling in our lives. Master, you have called us to walk in this light of this evening time. The grace and ability to do it, please, Master, may you give unto us, Lord.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus
Christ. Yeah.
We have heard your word. Some are on the altar, some are raising their hands on their seat, on the audience. Lord Jesus, there is no way we can come before you, Lord, without seeing ourselves the way we are. Just like a man looking at himself. In the mirror, he sees how he dressed and the rest of it. We have heard your word. You have taught us doctrine. You have rebuked us. You have corrected us. You have instructed us. You have showed us the life of those that have done evil in the past and their reward, our Master and our God. We don't want to go that way. May we not fall by the wayside. We know you did ordain us to fall by the wayside. Because your prophet said you cannot save us today and lose us tomorrow.
Yes.
Our Master and our God, whatsoever our desires are, whatsoever our needs are, whatsoever we are looking unto you, our request, may you meet us at the point of our
needs.
In the name of Jesus
yes.
Christ. In whichever way the enemy is trying to have preeminence, which is actually not to be, because you have been ordained it to be like that. With your children, you have taught us, you have given us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all over the powers of the enemy. You said nothing shall by any means hurt us. Thus says the Lord, cannot fail.
Yes.
We pray, O God, may you give us victory, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, our Master. Blessed be thy holy name. May these blessings, may they be permanent in our life. While you replenish yourself after the virtues that are slept in. Thank you. Blessed be thy name, Lord. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray.
God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Remember the announcement we made concerning our dismissal. When the song leader takes the pulpit. The children from age 1 to 10. Is it 11 now? 10. Yes. They will go to the under the tent. Others remain seated. The mothers that if your 1 year or 2 year cannot go by himself or herself, wait and collect yours. When you get to that place, your child will be given peace of heart. God bless you. We'll be seated by God's gate 2 o'clock for the last service of the day. Shall we rise? 647. Precious Lord.